Praise the Lord. You can have your seats. Praise God. You know, I want to talk about the unchanging Word of God. How many of you have your Bible? Either this, or maybe you do like me, you got it on your, I've got this one, and I've got it here on my several translations here. Miss Lynette does the same. You know, we're living in the last days. Amen. And according to what the Word of God says, is the only thing that'll stand. The Word, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall never pass away. You know, in the middle of everything that's going on, constant change all around us, you know, one thing remains absolutely sure, and it's the written Word of God. The promises of God are just as true today as they were the day that the writers of old penned them. You know, some people are always following after spiritual fads, and, you know, dynamic preachers come along and they go, and churches come and go, and people come and go. But one thing remains eternally sure, and that is the incorruptible Word of God. You know, 1 Peter 1:23. Give you an opportunity to turn there. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. You know, we are born again by the incorruptible, undecaying, never fading, never weakening, imperishable Word of God. The Word of God is our immovable foundation for our faith. The Word of God is life-giving power to us. The Word of God is our imperishable rock of salvation. Now, here Peter is talking, and in verse 23 he declares, the Word of God lives and exists forever. In verse 24, he emphasized that everything else in the world is subject to change and will not last. But in verse 25, he says, the gospel he preached was based upon the unchanging, incorruptible Word of God. What does this mean to us? Well, it means that everything in our life should be based upon what God says in His Word right here. You know, our salvation is based on the Word of God. Our healing is based on the Word of God. Our deliverance is based on the Word of God. Our prosperity is based on the Word of God. Everything that we want and receive from God is based on what He said. The unchanging Word of God. You know, many times people will, the boss will tell them they're going to get a raise of $500 or maybe $1,000, I don't know. They go home, they tell their wife about it, and they immediately go out and buy a piece of furniture or buy something on the word of their boss, and they haven't even seen any money yet. Come on, you there? You're going home already. Isn't that so? Why can't we take the unchanging Word of God and begin to build our lives on it and receive everything that He says in this Word that belongs to us? You know, it's really that simple. The Word will help you to triumph over every circumstance that comes around. The Word of God will give you victory in the face of what looks like seemingly defeat. The word of God is mightier than any trouble or situation that can come your way. You know, my dad, most of you know who he was. He was Kenneth E. Hagin, one of the fantastic ministers of the last, well, actually back, he started preaching in, when he come off a bed of affliction in 1933, 34, until he went home to be with the Lord in 2003. And, you know, whenever we were facing difficulties and trials, you know, when I was a kid, I'd say, Dad, what about this? And he said, Son, just another opportunity to prove God's word works. You know, I've been with him many, many times. People come up to him and say, Brother Hagin, what do you think about this? He said, it's not what I think. What's the Bible say? His answer was always, what does the word say? What does the word of God say? And, you know, we need to get that attitude that when we begin to deal with situations and things in our lives, we need to get to the point of what does the Bible say about it? Do you understand that if you get in the Word and read the Word of God, you understand that everything you face, anything you face, the things you need, the Word of God talks about it? We just need to get to know where they're at and begin to talk about it. You know, if the Word of God worked for the previous generations, then it'll work for us because God doesn't change. But in order to make the Word of God work for you, you got to become convinced that it is the true Word of God and that it will work for you. Hello, y'all there? Y'all awful quiet tonight. And I got a little preaching mode on tonight. You know, the word is unchanging. It's been the same since the writers, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, sat down and penned it. The word is alive. The word is powerful. The word is eternal. The word of God is more sure than anything that you know about. In fact, the word of God is more sure than the sun coming up in the morning. And I've been around for 78 years and it's always come up every day. How many of y'all, some of y'all been around longer than that? How many of you, and it's come up? Anybody here? I know some of you been around longer than that because I know you. I know Sister Shirley here. Hey, you know, the word is more solid than the Rock of Gibraltar. I mean, it's solid. You know, we built the building over there. Some of you have been to the Rainbow Bible Church over in Broken Arrow. And, you know, when we were building that church, it seats 4,500 people, and there are no poles in the auditorium. It's free span. But I don't know how many piers are underneath that building. But I happen to know that there's one straight back there in the auditorium and one right over there and one right over there. Because that's the auditorium part. Now, in the back, we got different poles and stuff. And those piers are 63 feet deep, and they are 6 foot diameter across. And they got a cage of rebar that's about that big around, and they put together and they tie it together, and they drop it down in there 63 feet deep. And I don't know how many concrete trucks it took to fill up those holes. But, you know, as they were putting that concrete in there, they had a deal sticking down in. They called it a vibrator. And it was making sure that no honeycombs were, that everything was solid. And that building, they say, it is so strong, excuse me, that you could drive a semi-truck into one corner of it and you wouldn't feel it on the other side. Of course, it's a 450-foot square, so it's a pretty large building. But it's because it has a foundation. Now, I said all that to say, if you've got to get your foundation, if your life on the Word of God. That's where your foundation, that's what keeps you in the midst of the storm. That's what gives you peace when everything around you is just going crazy. In fact, sometimes people say, well, man, how can you be so calm? How can you have so much peace? I said, because I have the peace of God. And he said that he would give me peace in the middle of the storm. You know, the psalmist said, when I wake up in the morning, the word of God is my delight. You know, when you wake up in the morning, instead of saying, oh, my Lord, this morning, you should wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hello. You know. And then when you sat down at your noon meal, the word of God is my confidence. I am confident that what he said, he will perform. And then when you go to bed at night, the word of God is my sustenance. In other words, the word of God will take care of me no matter what happens, what comes, what doesn't come, what doesn't go, or what does come and go. God is my source. The word of God is my source. You know what? Things around you will change. Your life will change. But the word of God never changes. And when you get the revelation of what the Word of God is and what it says and begin to believe it and begin to confess that it's going to happen in your life will change too. It changes anything it touches. Now, in the beginning, the worlds were spoken to existence by God. Genesis chapter 1. God said, let there be, and there was. Right on down through all the creation. Let there be light, and there was. Let there be this, and there was. See, and in Hebrews 3, in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, he spoke it into existence. You know, there's not one thing that he made on this earth that he didn't speak into existence. He spoke it into existence. In fact, in Romans chapter 4, with Abraham, it says that he called those things that be not as though they were. And Abraham believed the word of God, and it came to pass for him. We have to learn how to believe the word of God, and we'll begin to see that things will begin to come to pass in our lives too, if we'll believe the word and quote the word. You know, too many people, they believe what somebody else said. You know, well, I heard Brother So-and-so say. Well, I don't care what Brother So-and-so said. If it's not what the Bible says, it don't make any difference. Amen. You know, people all the time, they quote my dad all the time. I heard a TV program just recently. And in about a two-minute time, the guy that was there, this preacher, he said, Brother Hagin said, Brother Hagin said, Brother Hagin said. And I said, it doesn't make any difference what he said. Actually, all Dad was quoting was the Bible. The man, all he needed to say is the Bible says, because that's what the Bible says. All of us can say what the Bible says. But I guess because he thought it would give him more credibility, I don't know. I mean, sometimes I get a little exasperated, some of these people. Always talk, you know, throwing Brother Hagin's name out. Like some of them say, well, this is what he believed. It ain't what he believed. I mean, I've had that all the time. You know, I had one guy tell me, I know you're not preaching like your dad. You're not saying what he would say about this particular. I said, yes, I am. He said, I know better. I've read his books. I said, I didn't have to read the book. I heard him preach it hundreds of times. He said, I don't care. You're not. He believed this and he said this. I said, well, let me ask you a little question. Was you born in his house? Did you grow up in his house? Do you have his DNA in your system? No. I said, then I think I'd keep my mouth shut. Because by that time, I was quite exasperated. And I'm very, sometimes too competitive. Sometimes my wife tells me, she says, you're too plain. I said, well, when I get through, they don't have to wonder what I said. See, a lot of people try to take the word of God, and then they say, well, now this is what he meant. Well, since when does God need somebody interpreting what he said? You know, like if I tell Cliff back there, he works for me, or Greg, or Dan, or several of these people who are on the stage up here, if I tell them to do something, somebody else don't have to tell them, well, now this is what I think that he wants you to do. No, I already told him what to do. I've heard preachers get up and say, read a verse of scripture and say, now this is what I think the Lord was saying. Anybody ever heard that? Huh? Let me see your hand if you have. You know, and every time I heard that, I always wondered, well, why does God need somebody to interpret what he said? He was plain when he said, salvation comes through Jesus Christ. He was plain when he said, you're healed by the stripes of Jesus. He was plain when he said that he would meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He was very plain when he said, my peace I give unto you. Yes. Hello? He was very plain on all of it. I mean, it's there. You know, if you ever notice, God moves according to his word. You know, all of heaven's resources are ours when we learn how to appropriate the word of God for our lives. You know, everything that God does for us is based on his word. Am I right or wrong? You know, some people, you know, they'll say, well, I just don't feel nothing. I quoted the word, but I didn't feel nothing. I said, you don't have to feel nothing. I said, the word says it, that's it. You know, when you tell your wife or your children or somebody, when you tell them you love them, do you always have a feeling all the time? Sometimes there's feeling, but there's, you know, I love my wife whether I feel it or not. It's my word. Hello. You know, some people go, they got to reason everything out. Well, now let me figure this out. No, you don't have to figure out the word. The word said it, that's it. How many of you, when you told your son to go out and mow the yard, how many of he didn't have to reason it out and try to figure out, well, now does dad want me to go mow the yard, or what does he really want me to do? No, I just told him, go mow the yard, Craig. Go mow the yard. Come on. When God, and we are God's children, right? And God says to us, he tells us all of these things in his word, then they're ours. We just need to act on them. Hello? You know, I could pull this little knife out of my pocket and lay it up here. And I'm not going to give it away, because somebody give it to me and I really like it. It's one of those little Swiss Army knives. Got a blade there, and it's got a pair of scissors here, and it's got a little screwdriver there, and it's got a little fingernail file over here. It's got some little tweezers. You know, I really like this knife. I've been carrying it for years. Okay? It used to have a toothpick, but I lost that little ivory toothpick. But I don't know, I lost that in somewhere, sometime, another. Now, I could say that belongs to anybody that wants to come up here and get it. Now, I'm not going to give it to anybody, but if I said I was going to and put it out there, it would lay there until somebody took me at my word. Right? God has given us all kinds of things in his word that said belong to us that we can have, and they're just going to lay there until we go and begin to act upon them and make them a part of our life. You know, some people, you know, they're looking for some supernatural experience. No, if God said it, you don't have to have a supernatural experience. All you got to do is just act on it. You know, standing on the word, standing on the word. Nothing takes the place of standing on the immovable, unchangeable word of God. It doesn't change. It's been the same from the beginning, and it'll be the same to the end. In fact, he said, I said it earlier, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Anybody ever read that in there? Yeah. It's in there. I read it, you know. Standing on the word. You know, how many of y'all remember an old hymn that we used to sing in church, Standing on the Promises? One of the verses says, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. You know, I don't know. I know in the Pentecostals, because that's where I grew up, we sang it all the time. And I had some friends that were Baptists, and they said they sang it in their church too. I know they sang it there. I don't know whether they sang it in the other churches or not. You know, but hey, it's standing on his promises. It's taking the word of God, believing it, standing on it. My dad said it's like taking the word of God, and it's nothing under you except God's word. And you step out over the aching void of nothingness with the word of God under your foot, and you can't go under for going over. You remember the word Jesus said to the disciples? They got in the boat. He said, "Let's go to the other side." Now he said the word. He went to sleep. He expected to go to the other side. He didn't care if a storm came. The storm came up. They got afraid, and he told them. He said, "Oh, you have little faith." See, we've got to learn to proclaim the word of God and then begin to see it work in our lives. You see, in Mark 16:20, and they went out and preached everywhere. That's the disciples. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. See, we need to learn to quote the word and see it begin to happen in our lives. You see, you have authority in the name of Jesus. He said, in this word right here, it says, up till now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. The word says, what the word says works. It works in our lives. We have to believe it, say it, and receive it. That's all there is to it. You know, somebody said, well, that sounds sort of simplistic. Well, that's how simple the word of God is. Some people try to make it, you know, they try to make it a little more complicated than it is. You know, I guess I could probably, you know, I mean, I'm Bible school trained, and I've had theology, and I guess I could get up here and give some theological discourse on bibliology and canonicity, and you know, and half of you wouldn't know what I was talking about. Brother John would, though, because he's seminary trained. But you know, in fact, one of my relatives said, you know, we really like our preacher, but we have to take a dictionary and a theology book with us to understand what he's talking about. You ever notice that in the word of God, Jesus just spoke to the common. He didn't try to make it, you know, some big something or another. You know, I think sometimes some people try to impress with their oratorical ability with all of their book learning. You know, you're reading after John. Anybody know who John Wesley was? The great Methodist preacher. he got a letter, reading some of his memoirs, he got a letter one time from a guy. And the guy told him, he said, "The Lord told me to tell you that he didn't need your Greek and Hebrew and your book learning." And John Wesley said, I replied to him and I said, "The Lord didn't tell me to, but on my own, I'm telling you that I already know the Lord don't need my Greek and Hebrew and my book learning, as you call it, but he also doesn't need your ignorance either." Well, I guess that was a pretty good statement. But God will perform his word in our lives when we act in faith on the word of God. Not somebody else believing for us. Not your pastor. You can't ride somebody else's faith. It says you speak the word of God. And it'll happen. It's your faith in the word of God that will bring the blessings into your life. You know, today is the day to declare salvation. Today is the day to declare prosperity. Today is the day to declare healing, because that's what the Bible says. Today is the day to declare deliverance. Today is the day to declare favor. It says in the word, he says you have favor with God and man. It's time that we begin to use our faith in the unchanging word of God and receive everything that God has for us. We need to realize the word of God is greater than all our problems. The word of God will outlast any of trial that comes our way. The word of God will overcome every impossibility that you face. The word of God will survive in every situation that you put the word into. It will survive and bring you through to victory. The question is, do you really believe it? Do you really believe what the unchangeable, immovable, never weakening, imperishable word of God says? I've told you before, fly leaf of my Bible, I got it from my dad. The Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. When we get to that point that we begin to get into the word, you can't quote the word if you hadn't been in it reading it. Make sure you get in the word and read it, and so you know what it says. No, not what somebody told you it said. Not what I told you it said. I told you what the word said in certain instances today. But you need to get in the word and read it so you know it for yourself. That's why when you know it for yourself, then nobody can take it away from you. But when you haven't got in the word, and somebody comes telling you something, well, you say, well, maybe that's so. I don't know. I mean, you know. No, once you know the word, once you have it. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." He's not talking about your physical heart. He's talking about the real man on the inside. You know, that's your spirit. Amen. Anybody get anything out of this today? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I want you to get a hold to the word. Stay with the word. This is the Sunday that we've chosen to take communion. And as they get ready to serve communion, let me read what the Apostle Paul had to say about the communion. "For I received from the Lord that which I'd also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Tonight, we're taking communion. Come on, guys. They will serve you, and each one held your emblems until everybody served. We'll take together. We believe in open communion here. If you know that you're born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to come and partake or take communion with us. They'll be singing. I want you to worship the Lord while we pass out the emblems, because this is when we are honoring Jesus Christ for what he did for us. Go ahead, sing.
And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious,
as they're passing the emblems, and we're singing, worship the Lord. Thank
God for
this song.
That makes me white as snow.
With some grape juice in it. These represent the broken body that was beaten for our physical healing. This juice represents the shed blood for our salvation. And we give him the glory and the honor for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus, that took stripes upon his back for our physical healing, that freely gave his life and shed his blood on Calvary so that we could have remission of sin. We thank you for that tonight, and we give all the glory and honor to the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Break and eat, and if you need healing, say, I take healing to my body. Shall we drink together? Everyone, stand and in your own way, thank you, Lord, and your God for what he's done for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. I thank you for keeping us and forgiving us of all of our trespasses. I thank you, Lord, for we give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing a song.
No precious.
heads for just a moment, please. I don't know, but I think everyone in here are Christians. But if you happen not to be born again, I'd like to pray with you so that you could receive Christ. Is there anybody in this auditorium like that today? I want to pray with you. Praise the Lord. Does anybody want prayer for healing? We'll pray for your healing. Praise the Lord. Raise your hands and thank God for all of his blessings. Thank God for his son that died on the cross that you could have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you, Lord. Hey, I trust you. How many of you got something out of what I said tonight? Don't forget the word of God. That's your foundation. That's what everything comes from. Praise the Lord. Next Sunday night, 6 o'clock, be here. All right. I'm going to go to one door. She's going to go to the other one. And we can shake hands and fellowship with one another. I don't know whether there was there anything left. Is there anything left out there, Melinda? Oh, there's some desserts and stuff left out there. Anybody want to go out there and get a hold of them? It's fine. Praise God. God bless. You're dismissed.